Looks like it's time to go, and looking forward to class this morning. It's interesting for me. This a lot of this stuff's just been so eye-opening for me and conflict. And folks, you wouldn't believe what's going on behind the scenes that we can't see. And we're going to take a look at that this morning, what the angels are doing. And just a lot of battle and warfare and two sides opposing each other, and the battle rages on. It's raging on right now. We can't see it. So anyway, why don't we open with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have copies of it in our hands. Lord, we can read it. We can study it. And Lord, we take that for granted. And Lord, we think of those that, Lord, would give anything just to have a single page out of the Bible. And Lord, they would just give everything for that. And Lord, to have a copy of the scriptures, I mean, it would be something that they would treasure. And Father, yet we have several in our homes. We take it for granted, and we just assume that that's the way it's supposed to be. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us the way you do. I just pray now that you'll open our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, that as we speak, as we take a look at this book of Daniel, that you'll open our hearts, our minds. Lord, just help us, give us understanding. And Lord, and again, as I teach this morning, I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to say things that are not untrue. Help me, Lord, to speak the word of truth, in truth. And we just give you all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. I guess, first of all, I want to thank John. Thank you for covering last Sunday. So appreciate that. And we had a good time. And interesting things happened, but we'll let Nancy tell you about that. So anyway, we're here to study the book of Daniel. Okay, in leading up to here, we're in Daniel chapter 10. And we actually finished verse 12 last week. We're going to go back to 12. We're going to pick up the reading there, but then we'll begin our focus in 13. But 12 kind of sets the stage. But 2 weeks ago when we were here, Daniel had been praying for 21 days. He was discouraged and just praying a lot. He was saddened. He did not eat any. He was fasting and praying. When it should have been a time of celebration and jubilation. And yet he just had a heavy heart and he was praying. And anyway, so that's where we kind of pick up from last time. And so let's go ahead this morning. Let's get started and let's read verses 12 through 14. And who'd read those verses for us this morning? Delbert? Okay, so this angel comes to Daniel. Well, looky here. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Pat and Janice, so good to have you guys this morning. So, okay. So Daniel's been praying for 21 days. And Daniel might have asked the angel when he got there. He might have said something about, where have you been for 3 weeks? How far is it from up there to down here? You know, he's used to having quick response. Did you come to Babylon and couldn't find me? Where have you been? The last time you came the same day before I was even done praying. Now, we know that was not Daniel's thoughts or his heart. He probably never even thought of such a thing, but one of the authors was having some fun here a little bit, and because he'd been waiting, and Daniel always in the past hadn't had to wait. Here he's waited 21 days. He's still praying. So But then a very interesting explanation that the angel gives. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Apparently a more powerful fallen angel than this angel. This angel was trying to come. That's what this, you know, and I was shocked when I'm reading this. You know, I'm thinking, you mean a satanic angel can hold up one of God's angels? Well, that's what the scripture says. And if you read it, they read it in the context. That's exactly what it's saying here. Some scholars say this angel could be the pre-incarnate Christ. Some say it could be the angel Gabriel, and others say it could be a different angel. Now, last time we just kind of touched on that, and Bill was here, and he brought up the point. He said it was the pre-incarnate Christ. He says because the descriptions given to the describing this angel and describing a vision of the pre-incarnate Christ in Revelation are basically the same thing. And so said, okay, and so that, and there's people that hold to that view. And let's go ahead and take a look at that. Let's go ahead and read the description of this angel in Daniel chapter 10, where we already are. And let's go ahead and read verses 5 and 6. And we're going to get a description of this angel, what he looked like. And so who would read those verses for us, please? 5 and 6. Tracy?
Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold and ephod. His body also was like beryl, and his face was the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of the multitude.
Okay. Now, Tracy, as long as you're reading, let's flip over to Revelation. And this in here is a description of Christ. Revelation chapter 1. Okay, Revelation chapter 1, and Tracy, would you read verses 12 through 16 for us? This is Christ.
And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden pearl. His head and his hair were like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like as a fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength.
Okay. They're not exactly the same, but they're very similar. And so some people say that this is the pre-incarnate Christ has appeared. Okay. But there's some scholars say that they feel that there's a problem with this in being the pre-incarnate Christ. The problem with it being that the incarnate Christ is that he would be all-powerful and no one could withstand him. It's pretty obvious here that this angel has been held up until the angel Gabriel or Michael comes to help him. He's got to have help. Jesus, of course, exercises power and authority over the devil. We know that. In view of this, it seems best to take this man clothed in linen as some glorious angel. We don't know. He is not named here. We don't know. I mean, we can speculate, but... But anyway, I guess it's shocking. It was shocking to me to think a holy angel from the presence of God could be held up in space by who? And he was held up in space by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, and you were held up by that creature? In other words, this angel is stopping the good angel from coming and giving Daniel this vision? He says, yes, but Michael, one of the chief princes, or the chief angels, he came to help me. Michael, who is super angel, hero angel, champion angel, he came to help me. And so, and that's what the context says. He came and helped me. In fact, we're going to see that Michael is fighting this guy and holding him off, that frees up this angel to come and give Daniel a vision. And then we're going to see when he gives a vision, then the angel's going to say in verse 20, I got to get back and get back to that fight again, you know, and relieve Michael. So, anyway, and just kind of in following up with this angel thing, let's turn to Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. And who'd read that for us? John?
For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Okay. This verse clearly says the angels were created beings. God created them. And God is in charge of everything. God's in charge of the angels. All right? They're all subject to him. And now kind of down that line, John, would you keep reading? But turn now to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and we'll read verses 12 through 16. Yeah. No, it's supposed to be 16. Yeah.
And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining.
Okay. I'm sorry, John. I've been up here scrambling trying to figure out what is going wrong. I gave you the wrong reference. Okay. So I'm thinking, this isn't right, but I didn't know how to fix it. So I'll just let you go, and I'm trying to figure it out. Would you please read instead of that? We just got done reading that. I looked up in my notes and got in the wrong place. Ephesians 6:12. Sorry about that. Got mixed up in my notes here. Okay, it's talking about angelic warfare, angels, and we fight against principalities and powers, okay? And we're going to see this war is going on, and it's going to continue going on. And so apparently, okay, back to Daniel again. Apparently there's different ranks among God's holy angels as well as the fallen angels. Apparently, we're going to see from this that apparently angels are assigned to different positions, both the good and the bad angels. Michael and Gabriel seem to be the highest ranking angels. That's the ones that seem to be the highest ranking. If the angel who was assigned by God to go to Daniel, if that was Gabriel, then the prince of Persia must have been an extremely high ranking fallen angel working under Satan's command. He must be a high-ranking angel. This angel was withheld. He was stopped. The angel's trying to get there for 21 days, and he's stopped. He can't get there till he gets help from Michael. This angel started to come, but was detained for 21 days by a more powerful fallen angel. Only when the archangel Michael showed up to render aid was the lesser angel free to carry out his task. And I guess I just always figured any of God's angels could whip anything Satan's got out there, you know. But that's my thinking, but we got to look what the context here says. This demonic spirit was called the Prince of the Kingdom of Persia. Okay, now bear in mind, the Persians now are ruling over the Israelites. I mean, it's the Persians that, you know, are dominating them now. It was Babylon, now it's the Persians. This demonic spirit was called the Prince of the Kingdom of Persia, apparently because he was assigned by Satan to try to influence the kings of Persia to stand against God's people, Israel, and thus oppose God's plan. All the way through, Satan is trying to oppose God's plan and purpose. And he's going to do that clear until the end. And it's going to get more intense as time moves on. Michael the archangel, presumably heaven's most powerful angel, came to help this angel that had been assigned to visit Daniel. It would be interesting for us to see what goes on in the angelic realm. I mean, if we had any idea what's going on, folks, it'd amaze us. In fact, I'm fine just reading this account here. To me, that was eye-opening. Can you guys imagine the increase of angelic activity since President Trump came into office? You know the news. I mean, you can't keep up with it. I mean, it just boggles your mind every time. And I can see these angels, you know, they're fighting back and forth. I have a feeling that God is have to pay some of his angels time in half, and some double time in overtime. So, anyway. So, he is called the Prince of the Kingdom of Persia. The ruling kingdom at that time was Persia, but that prince was not a man. That prince was a demon being. We can see that as an angelic being. His job is to so control and order the affairs of Persia as to work against the people and the plans of God. He's trying to thwart and stop the plans of God. At this time, and we'll hear more about this in the future, they are trying to stop the Messiah from coming. Trying to thwart that plan of God. I mean, they're back here working, they're trying to exterminate the Israelites. Because the devil knows that the Christ child is coming through the Jews, the Israelites. Trying to stop it clear back then. This is an incredible insight. The prince has some very close relationship to Persia. He's assigned to Persia, to the Persians. He was evil because he was trying to stop God from carrying out his plan. He must have desired that there be no future for Israel in redemptive history. He wouldn't have been trying to thwart the plan. In other words, God's plan for redemption, they're trying to stop it. And further in verse 20, we won't go there now, but anyway, it says further in verse 20 indicates that this fallen angel had a continuing relation with the kingdom of Persia, because the angel says, when I'm done with you, Daniel, I've got to go back and continue fighting with this angel some more. Well, let's just read 20. I mean, I guess I'm taking things out of getting ahead of myself here. But let's go ahead and read verse 20. Who'd read that for us? Kathy? Okay, so now this is after he's given him the vision. He says this, but he says, when I'm done giving you the vision, Daniel, I got to get back and I got to continue the fight with this angel. And then after the angel of Persia comes, then I got to start fighting with the angel from Greece, the bad guy, the bad angel from Greece. So we can see that apparently there's different angels are in charge of different countries. And I'm sure that there's probably an angel in charge of the United States. Yes, sir?
Well, in Revelation, it talks about an angel of the church
Yeah. We might have our own special angel, folks. I don't know. Good thought. I never thought of that, but yeah, we could have. Because there's multitudes of angels. And they're assigned different positions. They're doing different jobs. And in fact, I think a lot of times I've gotten my own personal angel. I think I've said this before in this class, but I remember one time we had a missionary come to our church. You know, this has probably been 20 years ago. But this guy is a guy that he was always in some kind of an accident. He's always hurting himself, smashing a finger, doing this, that, the other. What? Mike Peterson? Okay, Mike Peterson. Yeah, it was him. But I remember he was always tearing himself up in one way or the other. And anyway, his wife was speaking. We was having a missionary conference at our church. And his wife got up and says, you know, I told him, I says, you know, when you get to heaven, I think your angel, your guardian angel is going to beat you up. So, anyway, I never could remember who it is, so. All right, the Bible tells us that Satan has an incredibly clever organization. And we can see that here. He has set up a network of demons that are behind all the activities of human history. And so there was a demon assigned to Persia. Verse 20 says there's also a demon assigned to Greece. The Bible says Gabriel is the angel assigned to Israel. We've seen that before. We'll see it more in the future. We're going to cover that here. But Gabriel's the angel assigned to Israel, so we can probably assume that there are angels assigned to all nations. And like Delbert says, maybe to all churches, maybe our church. Without question, throughout all of human history, Satan's network of demons have been behind the scenes endeavoring to do all they can do to foil the plan of God. We've already mentioned that. The human system of this world is demonic. Just turn on the news. That's why Paul says we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Our battle, you know, the devil's going about roaring lion, you know. There's probably demon forces attached to the United States of America trying to pull us down and destroy the plans of God. There probably is. I think from the scripture we can probably pretty well, you know, figure that one out. And there have been holy angels in the past who have been defending us. This is a rare glimpse behind the scenes in world history to see this battle that's going on, and it's going on right now. You know, and I and as I'm studying this lesson, I'm thinking about President Trump meeting with Kim Jong-un, whoever he is. You know, there's probably there's good angels and bad angels fighting over this conference they're getting ready to have. And I can almost see the battle taking place. And I mean, those angels are fighting hard, and they're working overtime. And so God had to send Michael, who is super angel, to help this guy. Michael is mentioned three times in Daniel and two times in the New Testament. Five times in all of the Bible, Michael is mentioned. He's called the archangel, which means the first angel. His name means the one who is of God. And if you want to read about the most wonderful battle of all, it's going to be at the end when Michael and his angels, they grab the devil and they throw him into the lake of fire. And that takes care of the devil and his demons. But it's not going to end until then. Folks, that's future. So the devil today is alive and well. So, back to verse 13, where we were, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And again, the term princes here is referring to angels. They're used by several different names. But anyway, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And I think is what that means there. I remained there with the kings of Persia. After the battle was over, he went back and remained with the kings of Persia to fight against this bad one for the good one. But between the two of them, Michael and the original angel, they were able to subdue the, or at least put him at bay. So even after the struggle, he says, he kept his place of dominant influence. The angel went back, he kept his place of dominant influence over the land of Persia. So these two guys are going to keep on a fighting, but the battle goes on, and I guess that frees Michael up to go somewhere else. In other words, the angel overthrew the bad prince and then remained to keep a good influence for God with the kings of Persia. That tells us another thing. Apparently, God has assigned holy angels to nations to carry out his purposes. So, there's good angels, bad angels, probably for every nation. And this warfare goes on all the time. Now think about the terms of America. I wonder what's really going on right now. I cannot imagine the battle that must be taking place right now. History's getting ready to be made, good or bad. So I hope this thing works out with Trump and North Korea. Anyway, verse 14. Now the angel says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." See, Daniel thought, he read in Jeremiah about they're going back in 70 years. And Daniel thought, that's it? You know, when we go back, he's likening that to the second coming, when Christ sets up his millennial kingdom. He's thinking it's all over. And so did all the Old Testament people. We said before, this thing about the gap of time, the time we're living in now, was a mystery to them. It was not revealed to them. And as I go through these things, I think about, you know, in the Bible a lot of times it says, and when the fullness of time was come, such and such happened, you know. Well, the fullness of time had not come to the Old Testament saints. It's come to us because now we can read about these things and see what's going on. So the fullness of time has come for us, but it had not come for them. So, now the angel says, I'm here to make you understand the future for your people. And, Daniel's going to realize that, hey, this thing isn't over. It says it's for many days, you know, is the ending of that verse. So the angel revealed that this mission was to help Daniel understand what was to happen to the people in the latter days. That means in the future days. And a lot of times when the Bible talks about the latter days, it's referring to near and around and in the tribulation period. So this and similar terms used in the Old Testament typically points to the future tribulation period leading up to the coming of Messiah and to set up his millennial kingdom on earth. And folks, that day is coming. But at the end there it says, for yet the vision is for many days. I have a question here. You know, what were the Jews thinking at the time of the triumphal entry? What were they thinking about the future? What did they think Christ was going to do then? Huh? Be the king. They're thinking he's going to set up, we're ready for the millennium. He's setting up his rule. That's when they ask, hey, at this time, are you now going to restore the kingdom unto Israel? That's what they're looking for. They're thinking, hey, this thing is over. We're ready to move into, we're going to live happily ever after. Wrong. Okay. Let's move on. Let's read verses 15 through 19. So who'd read those for us? Delbert?
When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and began to speak. And suddenly one having the likeness of the Son of Man touched my lips. When I opened my mouth and spoke, saying again, it stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. How can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is in my breath
Okay. And we can see the position of Daniel. He's already been flat on the ground. He's been, I mean, he's just, you know, overwhelmed with the presence of deity, and he's also overwhelmed by the news that he's going to hear. In verse 11, after Daniel had been lying on his face down to the ground, the angel had him stand up. It says, and I stood trembling. That's back in verse 11. So now he's going to fall over again. Here's Daniel standing there just tottering around, and after he gets that information, he fell down all over again. It kind of seems like these verses that Delbert just read, like we're kind of going back and forth. It seemed like, as you read way through, that it might have been after he's received the information. Then after he receives what the angel's getting ready to tell him, he falls over. In fact, if you remember back, these last three chapters, 10, 11, and 12, they all go together in the book. It's all one thing. And kind of the chapter 10, where we are right now, kind of leads to the introduction leading up to the angel giving him the vision. And then in chapter 11 is the vision. He gives a vision to him. And then chapter 12 is kind of a wrap-up, kind of an epilogue about the whole thing. But all three chapters are one. They're one unit, they're one vision, and it all goes together. So right now, we're still in the introduction. The angel's getting ready to tell him. But it kind of looks like here, after the, like maybe the angel's already told him in these verses, and then Daniel, he just falls down weak again after the news he gets. So that's kind of my take on this thing. I don't know if that's right or not, but as you kind of look at this thing, it's because he falls all over again, but the angel hadn't, at this particular point, the angel hadn't given him the vision yet. So I think it's kind of flipping back and forth here a little bit. Okay, here Daniel's standing there, just tottered around, and after he gets that information, he fell down all over again. It's kind of like he's heard the vision, but we haven't even got to the vision yet in our study here. He's never heard anything like this in his life. What's getting ready to happen to his people? He's thinking it's all over. No, we're just at the beginning, Daniel. He never knew anything about angelic warfare, not like this. He's never seen anything like this. This angel explaining, you know. He's lost his speech and he falls down all over again. He's flooded with a renewed state of weakness and he lies prostrate on the ground. He can't even speak. Can you imagine being in that shape, in that condition? Daniel's reaction was likely due to several factors. He was likely still weak, being in the presence of a glorious angel. That's enough to knock you over right there, just to come in the presence of deity. He may also have been stunned to discover the level of spiritual warfare that erupted in response to his prayer. Daniel's praying, and all of a sudden these two angels, they go to fight, you know, because of Daniel's prayer. It's overwhelming. He was apparently greatly saddened to discover what awaited his people in the latter days, the future tribulation period. And so that's why I say I think this thing's kind of flipping back and forth, because it seemed like it's after he's got the news, and we haven't got to the news yet. That's chapter 11. And it says at the end, for yet the vision is for many days. And that is right, many days. It's still going on. This is all taking place 500 years before Christ, and it's still going on today, many days. And it's not over with yet. And we know this world's going to last for at least 7 more years. We know that. Verse 16. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. So apparently he's heard the vision. It says, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men. That apparently is another angel. It is another angel came, and as you read the context here, it's another angel came and who appeared in human form. He touched my lips. And resp- responding to Daniel's muteness, another angel touched his lips so he could speak. At first, he couldn't even speak. By the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me. You know, he's saddened all over again to hear what's going to happen. Anguish overwhelms Daniel as he understands the vision, and he is powerless and breathless. So, if we could hold these thoughts in our mind, we're going to find out what the vision is in the next chapter, and then we can understand why he's left weak. Verse 17. For how can a servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? As for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. He can't even catch his breath. How in the world can you give me any revelation? Any more revelation? I mean, you know, I'm a basket case. Basically what Daniel's saying. I am a basket case. I can't even catch my breath. And this is really hard on an 85-year-old man. It'd be hard on any man. It'd be hard on anybody. Verse 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. So in this particular, Daniel's so weak, he can't even respond, he can't think, he can't breathe, he can't talk. So the angel comes and strengthens him. That's a miracle. These angels have power to put strength right back into a body. So it says here that this angel strengthened Daniel so he could kind of regain his composure, you know, and after hearing the vision. Verse 19. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and I said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. So the angel strengthens Daniel. And Daniel finally says, okay, speak on. You know, tell me. And again, this is this flip-flop part here in these verses here. First of all, wouldn't it be great to hear an angel say that you are greatly beloved by God? Wouldn't it be great to hear? That'd strengthen anybody. Fear not. Peace, be strong, it says. Daniel, he's so weak he can't do anything, you know. He'd been flat on the ground and weak. He couldn't catch his breath or speak. But Daniel was given strength by that angel. That's an incredible scene. Imagine what it would be like to stand before the living God. When the holy enters the presence of the unholy wants to find a hole and crawl into it. He is devastated. And here's Daniel. We don't know of a godlier person that lived in his day. Daniel's a very godly man, and you see the reaction of a very godly man in the presence of deity. And what's it going to be like for some of us? But when he was confronted with angels, he was utterly devastated. It doesn't matter who we are. When we stand someday to face the living God, we'll be devastated by his very presence. Folks, one of these days, we're going to stand before him and give an account. Every one of us, we're going to give an account. We are going to be devastated. We're going to be like Daniel. Daniel was strengthened, and then he said, let my Lord speak. To continue this message about the future. Okay, you strengthen me. I feel like now I can hear the message. You know, speak on. And what a message it must be for all this activity. And we're going to see that this message is going to take, it's going to carry all the way through. All the way through the tribulation. The bulk of chapter 12 is about it's about the Antichrist, the tribulation. This is all focused on the Jews now. It's all Israel, for the most part. I mean, it's basically that's where it is. We got 3 minutes here. Who'd read verses 20 and 21 for us? Okay, Lori?
Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come into thee? And now, though I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Persia shall come. But I will shew thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with thee in these things but Michael, your prince.
Okay. Then he said, do you know why I came unto thee? Do you know why I'm here? The angel apparently asked Daniel this because Daniel had been so weak and needed to refocus his attention on the vision of the future. He needs to refocus. I mean, the guy has been devastated. He's got to get his wits back about him. Daniel's answer would be, well, no, I guess I don't. You know, I forget why you were here. What the angel is implying is, Daniel, you're going to get a whole lot more than you asked for. You know, this Daniel's getting ready, the angel's getting ready to unload a semi-load, a train load of information on Daniel. When you spent 21 days asking, Lord, what's going to happen to my people? That's basically what he's asking. Your desire was to know the picture of the immediate future. The immediate future. It's going to go way beyond the immediate future. We're coming to that next chapter. I want you to know you're going to get a visitation from heaven that's going to expand you clear beyond this period until the end of the age. Satan is thinking, now's my chance. Now that there's a new Gentile power, the Medo-Persian Empire ruling over Israel, the satanic angel was going to go all out to influence a Medo-Persian Empire to completely annihilate the nation of Israel. So we've kind of backed up in time here a little bit, but Satan's saying, man, I gotta annihilate these Jews now. So the Redeemer could not come into the world through the nation of Israel. And then the angel says, when I get done with you, I'm going to go back and fight again with a prince of Persia. I've got to give you this message quickly because I need to return to fight with Gabriel against a demonic spirit that was influencing the human leadership of Persia. I got to get back to the battle. Persia must not be allowed to thwart God's plans for Israel, God's purposes for Israel. Is that an insight? At times, God carries out his will through angelic conflict. So God's will is being worked out here. Man, we're out of time. We're out of time. I guess I'll just stop. Again, I'll say again, that clock is my, I'm just getting on a roll here. We're just getting wound up. And then we're going to get into this vision. But any questions or comments before we close out? All right. Folks, we're going to see some exciting things. There are some good things coming. And it's going to be, in fact, I'll be honest. Right now, I'm in a portion. I'm trying to prepare. I'm in chapter 12, I guess it is. There's some things that I don't understand. There's some things right now I'm having to change my thinking on, and I'm struggling, trying to understand this and trying to fit all the pieces of the puzzle together. And again, this is basically my first look at this book in this part, and so. You might pray for me that God will give me wisdom to get this thing straightened out. And I'm probably going to get pastor involved in this and some other stuff. So I've already hit him up a little bit. So anyway. Yes.
I believe that these angelic beings were not born that way, that they got possessed by the spirit, like human beings got possessed by an angelic spirit. That's how I see it, instead of how they were born.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Kathy, because God, when God finishes creation, he says it is very good. And God would not say it is very good if there was sin in the world. At that particular point, everything was perfection. Later on, but apparently God, when he created the angels, he gave them the ability, like man, to rebel. And they chose to rebel. And so, but that happened later. That happened after the 7 weeks. Or 7 days of creation. I'm used to 7 weeks anymore in here. So, no, you are correct. That happened after God said, it is very good. He always said it was good after each day, but when he's finished with creation, it is very good. He would not say that if there was sin or evil in the world. You're correct. Folks, we've got to close. Our time is over.